I have a question for you before we talk about anything that we've organised to talk about. Mm-hmm. We've been asking, Liz is asking for gift ideas for her brother, and we've had suggestions of things like some of those bits and pieces that you need to look after a new baby. And we had the drop-in note of the month's worth of nappy wash.
Mm.
Where do you stand on washing nappies as opposed to disposable nappies? And I ask this in the context of a Productivity Commission report that came out about a year or so ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think I'm getting set up here.
That
but anyway.
It said disposables are actually not that bad for the environment. They're about on a par with reusing cotton nappies, which surprised me.
Yeah, because I think if you remember, I don't know, it might have been a year or two ago, we actually discussed this and we did a study on that. We had a good chat about that, about the energy involved in making disposable nappies. Look, I haven't seen that report, but what I would still say is that they're probably cleaning up their act. Mm-hmm. No pun intended there.
Yep.
That they're probably becoming much more efficient on how they manufacture the disposable nappies. They're probably making them so that they're far more biodegradable,
yeah.
Break down in the earth far better than what they were, because I do know that the older ones basically didn't break down.
Mm.
So there was all that sort of impact. I still think... I'm a still firm believer that cotton nappies in the long run are still more sustainable, because they have other products that you can use with it. I mean, if you look at it as just being used for a nappy, fine. But a lot of these things have another carry-on use. And it's like everything that we've always talked about on this program, or many times we've talked on the program, is what can we use that product for the second time around, whether it be the water, whether it be the sewage. And I think that's a valid point.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just thinking of some people's bathrooms. You go and there's a small white hand towel with interesting markings on it that haven't been able to be washed out.
No comment.
The children are, you know, sort of 10 to 16 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. but no, the point is serious, that the Productivity Commission was making, and you talk about life cycle
products analysis. Yep.
Talking about the cotton reusables, if you factor in the growth of the cotton and the water in making the thing and the manufacturing, and then you factor in the water use and the electricity to wash the thing and the chemicals to soak it and all that, when you stack that up against a disposable, they actually come out relatively even.
And I think that's why when we do these, I think we've got to be vigilant, is that we still have to go back and look at them again.
Mm.
And when you get a new product, that product might be better. And if manufacturers are serious about having disposable nappies, which let me just say that they still have they should have a place in everyone's family for certain instances, but maybe they'll get it to a point, or maybe they have already, where it is better than having cotton ones. But I do think you got to look at that there is still a fairly large bit of petrochemicals involved with disposable nappies and the plastics and things of that sort. And that's probably going to raise and, you know, increase in price and so on and so forth. So there are that side of it.
Things for us to talk about. We are going to have a little bit of a year in review, but something else that does touch on a conversation we had last time you were in, and this was about using unused space for electricity generation. In the last day or so, the Solar City announcement has come through. Just explain this, Dennis.
Yeah, well, look, it was interesting. I was reading the local newspaper this morning, and it was on, you know, there was quite an article about the development of solar panels to be put out at the Ballarat Airport. And I immediately started thinking about it. What a good place to put them. Because you cannot, you can't really use the land for anything else. If you use it for farming, you really can't do that, because of the fact is that, one, it's probably you have a problem with health and safety if they're there when the planes are coming in, but also animals, birds, and et cetera, that you wouldn't want to be drawn by the crops. And I remember in our last discussion, we were talking about in Spain, where they'd use cemeteries and put the solar panels on top of the different cemetery blocks. And I thought, well, this is quite a good idea, because that land is really not going to be used for anything else. So why can't you even at the Melbourne airport, for example, which has a huge expanse around it, you can't have houses, you can't have crops, you can't have a lot of the other things that you could have on it, put up solar panels. There's virtually, you know, probably 100 hectares at the Melbourne airport alone that could be used for solar panels, which does not affect anything. Mm. And you could still have grass growing underneath it because the panels don't cover up the entire, well, I assume how they're put tilted. They wouldn't cover up the whole thing. And you have a good use for a space. Aesthetically, probably all right. The one thing I was thinking about that possibly could be a problem, but I think it could be overcome, possibly could be glare.
For the pilots. Could
be glare for the pilots coming in. Now, I suppose the safety, well, I would think that even though the solar panels are a mass, that the safety of a plane going into them and causing physical harm to people because of it would be minimal.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't put them under the flight path directly.
No.
They'd be off to one side.
No, but you got all these sides. I mean, there's like, I'm just visualizing, because I flew in last night. I think it was like there's 200 meters or 300 meters. Now, the last 200 meters, why not have solar panels there? So you have 100 meters, and I think that would just be a fantastic way of utilizing land for a renewable resource.
Yeah, that otherwise is not being used for very much.
No shadowing, no glares, there's no trees on it. So you have all that sort of area that's, well, it's not being used for anything else.
It's, if you think about all the other little airports around the place as well, perhaps not all of them are suitable, but some of the bigger ones, particularly where you have the two crossing runways, the T-style runway, where you have those other corners of the square, probably is in some good room for that sort of stuff.
Well, The problem with a lot of these is where do you put them? Mm. And a lot of people don't want them in their backyards. A lot of, we can't put wind farms on airports. But they don't want them around. They think they're aesthetically, they don't look well. But, we'll have them in time anyway. So you're getting around a lot of those issues. And I would think maintenance of them. So I would be very interested to see this when it comes to fruition. And to go out and have a look.
I think someone needs to actually develop in a tile form, roof tile form, or corrugated iron form, solar panels, so that you just put your roof up and that's your roof and it actually generates electricity.
Actually, there's research into that. That's actually
going to
happen.
It was my one good idea. I was going to make a billion.
Bad luck, mate. I think there's a German company, I believe, that's actually looking at it. It's actually just a film. You can almost paint it on, and then it becomes an electrolyte.
A generator.
Yeah.
Of electricity.
Because the cost now is still in the silicon oxide for the actual PVC.
Yeah. But eventually, they'll be everywhere and we won't notice them.
Absolutely. We don't notice them now. It's just that they're sort of new in some areas. Mm. A lot of hot water heaters on the roofs now.
All right, let's have a bit of a look back over the year. I'm interested to think how you think this year has gone as far as our attitudes to sustainability have gone.
Well, I'll keep it on a personal point, I suppose, in a way, to myself. I was extremely excited at the beginning of the year. I thought that we had a change in government. We had the agreements to Kyoto and all these other things that were going to happen. We looked like we had somewhat of a vision of where we were going. And December the 11th, 2008, I'm feeling a little bit more disappointed that many of those things are being on hold or have been watered down. I think that you had on the program just recently about the company in Portland that's making the windmills.
And
they're really, they need some government direction on this. I can completely understand where they're coming from. They were probably very euphoric at the beginning of the year, and I'm quite sure they're not that now. I do think that one can't just rush into it, but I would think that there would have been a lot more positive things happening internally here in Australia, if nowhere else, on some of those issues. If we look at energy as being one of them, I was thinking about this. Well, electrical energy is still going up. It's not going down. Cost of our water, all those things are going up. It's not a complete sadness in that. We're right now, our petrochemical industry, petrol is down below a dollar. That is short-lived, and if anybody thinks it's not, well, they're whistling somewhere. They've been drinking something else that I don't drink.
Yeah.
because it is just a short-term thing, and they will go up. But it has come at a good time in that respect, because it will help people in the holiday period and the early period.
So in relation to the price of fuel, I have always worried that things go up, change it, like the price of fuel went up so dramatically, car companies start saying, hey, we're going to start looking at this now.
Mm.
And now it's come down, and if it goes back down and will stay down, then all that momentum that was built up is lost. But like you, I think petrol will go up again and probably maybe stay down for a couple of years while the economies of the world sort themselves out. But it will start that inevitable march skyward. But the groundwork is already set, and I think most people probably accept now that oil is going to be much higher,
yep.
And people are going to be looking for alternatives.
Yeah. I would agree with that it would be a very silly industry that has anything to do with the petrochemical industry that thinks that it's going to stay down for any length of time. It's certainly going to be going up. And look, I think it's probably it might be a year or two before we get up to another $1.50 a liter.
Mm.
But I would say that it's going to progressively go up. I think we've probably got another 6 months of really low petrol prices, and then I believe that they'll start to climb again. And it all depends if the Saudi Arabians and others turn the oil tap off too, which they're looking at doing.
Well, with lower demand as well, they can downscale their production, and that pushes prices up. We did talk a bit about solar cells. The federal government changed solar cell rebates for households to put them on.
Mm.
It effectively killed off a sector of the industry, because the means test that was brought in meant a lot of double-income households, the ones that probably could afford to do it in the first place,
yep.
could no longer get access to that scheme. How are you feeling about that a few months down the track?
Yeah, look, I would like to think that would change, but again, I think it's another disappointment in my respect, because, again, I think we've discussed this on the program before, and it is reflective of what we said before, is that if we can afford to put them on, why wouldn't we get the rebate so that whoever buys our house, who might be upgrading and when we move out, is going to have the benefit of that being there. And it could be a young family, and if it's already there, it's sort of built in the total price of the home, then they can actually benefit from that without having to have the capital outlay. Now, there was something I was thinking about with this $1,000 that the government is giving out to
People with children.
Yes.
And some pensioners.
Yes,
like,
and some pensioners. Now, I thought, wouldn't it be good? Well, it's another way of spending the money. I'm sure there's a lot of ways you could either spend the money or put it in the bank, and I certainly wouldn't feel bad if people were putting it in the bank, because I could understand that to pay off a debt. But another thing would be to actually use that money. Say you have three children, and you get $3,000, for example, to use that to buy your solar hot water system or something like that, which you will get a benefit in return much greater than what you would get by just putting it in the bank.
Yeah. And you would get that return if you had that, say, $3,000 to put a solar hot water system in. The benefit in the lower running costs would start coming in almost
immediately.
Absolutely.
And you would have it all the time. It would be there for the rest of the time that you own that house. And so the dollar savings that you would get would be a multiplier off of that $3,000, which would be substantial.
Mm.
Now, that's a hard call. And I know other people would have probably other issues or reasons to reuse that money. But I still think it's, there was one family that had 6,000 kids. Yeah, six kids. They had $6,000. But they were going to put it into a trust fund for their children. Now, yes, that's good. And I certainly could understand doing that. But they also could do something like this with that money, where they would get that benefit. And if they were in that house for 20 years, it would probably be worth $40,000 to them instead of $3,000. So there's those sort of things to do.
Six kids, two parents, the amount of hot water they'd use.
Absolutely.
And how hard their hot water system would be working.
That was the first thing I thought of, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having four children, it was enough, so
yeah,
I can believe that.
They would save a lot. What do you reckon about people's attitudes this year? Because I reckon last year and the start of this year, perhaps, great leaps and bounds. A lot of people, as prices were marching up relentlessly for so many things, attitudes did start to change by necessity, perhaps. But they did start to change. People suddenly started to think, hang on, I've got to use a bit less. How are you feeling about it now? Because people have more money in their pockets if they have a mortgage. Mortgage rates have gone down and down substantially. But there is also that fear about jobs and the ability to spend money and perhaps wanting to stockpile a bit of stuff just in case.
Yeah, look, I think just anecdotally from people that I've talked to about many of the things on sustainable equipment and stuff that they could buy, that many of them are putting it on hold. Because, look, it's like the comments are made about some of the developing countries that, well, it's all right for you to say that we need to go down the sustainable path, but we've got to have food on the table and certain commodities to live with. I suppose in our own cases here with job security being a little bit less, prices have gone down, but still, so is the values of many of the commodities that we actually value as part of our assets, basically our homes, cars even. They're depreciating even more, large cars especially. So I think that unfortunately, it probably has gone off the number one on the radar. I think people still see it there, and I still think they'll make if the value is right, they'll make a consumer decision to still go down that path, whether it be in the building of a new home or replacement of things. It's probably more still in the replacement. Let's just say it's a replacement of a light bulb. I still think they'll go now with a far more energy efficient light bulb. Well, one something that's not really existing anymore. When it has to be replaced, instead of saying, "Well, I know that's expensive, but this is only 60 cents," I don't think they'll go down that way. And quite a lot of other things, I suppose. Even when they do want to buy a new car, they will certainly be looking at buying one that's much more energy efficient. So I think there's a lot of that in there. If they're going to remodel their home, if they're going to put insulation in, they'll do those things. Where it's all judgment calls, but I don't think they'll not spend that sort of money. But on some other things, I think it's probably a little bit less on top of the radar than maybe it was in 6-7 months ago.
Do you know what I've done?
What?
In the last week and a half? I don't have a car anymore. Sold my car. Joe's got a car. We need a car, but we've become a one-car household. There are two motorbikes, a trailer, and a boat. But anyway, some of that is going to go as well. But we've downgraded it, so I don't have a car, and I basically use the car. I've been walking to work all of this week, and a bit of a couple of weeks ago as well.
Oh, that's good.
It's great.
It's good.
It's about a 20-minute, 25-minute walk, depending on how quickly I'm going.
Well, you did that for a while once before, if I remember
right. Yeah, but just because I wanted to. But now I do it because it takes me longer to actually put all my motorcycle safety gear, like helmet and jacket and boots, on than it does to actually ride the bike to work.
Yeah, okay.
So it takes 5 minutes to get dressed and 3 minutes to get here. So instead, I just walk. It's very pleasant when you can do it.
Absolutely.
And wandering home in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, that's always a good relaxing time.
Yeah. See the other early morning walkers. Do you say good day?
Yeah. I think on an end note, because I think we're getting close to the end of time, there are some positives to come out of what can happen. I know we're going into a recession and that, but in any recession or worse, there's always been an upskilling at the end of it, and there's been a change in movement of industries. The recession or the depression of the 30s, it was the car industry, or sorry, the manufacturing of goods. Then there was the in the 50s, it was infrastructure. I'm talking the U.S. now because that's what I know more about in that area at that time. Infrastructure and houses and stuff, and also in the 90s, it was the IT.
Yeah, true.
So and now it's sustainability.
Dennis, we have to wrap it up. Have a great Christmas.
Thanks, Steve.
Sir.
You too.
Dennis Olmsted, resident sustainability consultant on the program.